You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pac-12, where we give you everything Conference of Champions. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, and today I am joined by Brian Brown from Locked On Utes. Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing great. We're getting so close to the season starting. I cannot wait. I need real football, Cindy. None of this, like, trying to interpret tea leaves and comments. I want to see action on the screen.
I feel that. For those of you, you know, ready for the season like Brian, the NFL season is obviously about to begin, and nobody covers it like the Locked On Podcast Network. August 30th through September 8th, the Locked On NFL Podcast is previewing every team and every decision with the help of Odyssey's lineup of NFL experts. So follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast to tune in beginning August 30th. You do not want to miss that. Definitely will help you with some of your fantasy drafts and all that good stuff. So don't miss out. I have drafts coming up and I cannot wait. I need to make sure I'm tuned in myself. but we're not doing fantasy in the college realm, but there's a lot to talk about because just like the NFL season is starting, the college football season is starting, and it's becoming more and more apparent with fall camps ending. A lot of teams finish their fall camps over the weekend, and now, you know, they're getting ready for that opener coming up very, very, very soon. So, Brian, today we're going to talk about Utah to start things off, mainly because, you know, you're the resident Utah expert here. You are the host of Locked On Utes along with Jake, but, you know, on this show, it's all about you. So, first, you know, Utah had their final scrimmage on Saturday. What could you tell us about that final scrimmage, if anything at all?
Well, I can tell you that we didn't get a chance to watch any of it, which is always frustrating on our end of things. But the good news is that being the host of Locked On Utes gives me a little bit of sway and a little bit of persuasion. I think more than anything, what Kyle Whittingham told us afterwards was that they were very careful about how they conducted this scrimmage, but the scrimmage also ran a little bit longer, so it's clear they were trying to get that last little bit of work in, making sure that everything is ready to go, which is completely on par with who Kyle Whittingham is, always in the details, always making sure that they feel confident about things. The biggest takeaway, I think when we entered into camp, we thought that Charlie Brewer was going to be the hands-down starter without much contest, and now the starting quarterback job has been open throughout the entirety of camp. He's given us a date that they think they'll have a starter announced, but knowing Kyle Whittingham, if he doesn't want to announce it, then he won't announce it. But that, I think, is very telling in the fact that most everyone expected Charlie Brewer to be the starter, and Cam Rising just performed so well in camp that it put everything into chaos.
Okay, because that was the biggest thing, I think, coming out of this scrimmage that a lot of, obviously, reporters, but fans wanted to know, was that quarterback decision made? Now, according to Whittingham, it seems that he anticipated choosing after they looked at the tape from the scrimmage and making that final decision. So I'm sure this decision was made over the weekend. We won't know either Monday or Thursday. He did say Thursday that there would be a depth chart released of all the starters and everything that you can expect going into that season opener. But he did also mention something about possibly letting people know Monday. So if I were you, Utah fans, I would just look out for the news. I'm sure Brian will tweet it out, talk about it on the show with Jake. Whatever the case may be, look out for it. It's coming. You will know who your quarterback is very soon. One of the other things, like you mentioned, that, you know, he was being very careful about how they conducted this camp was, it seems like there's a result in that being he's worried about the O-line because they didn't have a very healthy offseason, it seems like. And he hasn't had all his players that he would like in camp consistently. Sorry, my words are like struggling to come out today. But for you, being someone who, you know, follows along with the team, covers a team. Do you feel like his concerns are valid, or is this one of those things like, you know, just you're just gonna, it's growing pains, it comes with football, yada yada yada?
I think what it is, it's a continuation with this particular group of offensive linemen. They're going into now the third year with the bulk of the offensive line being the same group. And, you know, Satawa Laumea, Nick Ford, all conference performers there. So they have some really good players to anchor that unit. But the problem has been consistency. They haven't had the same guys in there the entire time. You know, Jaron Kump was a guy who started last year, but this year has been rumored to be out for the beginning of the season due to an injury that he sustained in spring ball. And Utah doesn't comment on injuries unless they're season ending, so we've been left to speculate on when he might return, and there's no clear timetable for that. And he would have been penciled in as one of the starters, and so that's opened up a position at the tackle spot for somebody else to emerge, and various injuries have made that difficult to pin down. So that's the biggest frustration and concern, I think, for the University of Utah. They feel confident in the fact that they have 10 offensive linemen who can go and play snaps in the Pac-12, which that's important. You have to have that kind of depth, I think, especially at a position like offensive line. But it's the continuity. It's getting guys together and making sure that they all take reps together that I think really has him concerned, and for good reason. And that's a group that is, especially amongst Utah fans, maligned to say the least, because of the inability to protect the passer at certain points in the last few seasons. And so it's a group that the expectations are very high for, in terms of if the ceiling for this Utah team really is as high as everybody hopes and thinks that it could be, they really need to be successful. So for Whittingham to come out and say that publicly, he's very calculated in his comments. He's not somebody who's going to leave something out there in the public unless, you know, it's something that really matters to them. And the other part about it too that I always like to clarify, when coaches talk to the media, we all know who they're really talking to. They're talking to the players. And so this is a bit of a call out for that group, because they have had a lot of praise throughout camp. There's been a lot of confidence in them and everything that they're able to do. And so this is him likely motivating that group, saying, hey, you can't rest on your laurels. We need you this year. You need to get in, get your treatment done, get back, get on the same level, and stay consistent so that we can have the kind of season that we really need.
Well, at this point, it is seeming like we're just going to have to wait and see when it comes to that season opener, who's actually healthy and able to go, and what that Utah team can actually do this season. But coming up next, we're going to discuss some more updates out of Washington State, which is really not too much of an update, but it is what it is. And then also talk about this Big Ten ACC possible alliance with the Pac-12. So yeah, it's a lot going on in the Pac-12 conference right now, you guys. I don't know, but we're still the conference of champions, so that's all that matters. Now, with football season approaching and, you know, it's still summer, something you might want to know about is sweat block. It's not a comfortable thing to talk about, but it's one of those things that's necessary, and I feel like it helped me, it could help you. Sweating is no fun. It ruins your clothes. It tends to make you smell, all that bad stuff. So Sweatblock has created a product to help combat all of that. It was doctor created, doctor recommended. It works for up to 7 days per use, and it's a dry shirt guarantee. So if Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you can get your money back. That's always a plus. There's a way to get your money back. You can wear what you want to wear. It's a secret to your confidence. You know, when you're not worried about sweating, you're a lot more confident, and it's a must have for everyone. So I definitely encourage you to go try it. If you or someone you love, you can benefit from this, then go ahead and check it out at sweatblock.com, and you can get 20% off with promo code Locked On, or at Amazon and CVS. So go ahead and try it out. Let me know how it is for you. And yeah, good luck with your sweaty journeys. All right, we are now going to shift our focus to Washington State, which we've been doing quite a bit lately. And usually I would not complain, because you know I love talking about my Cougars, but in this instance, it's not necessarily the best of news. It's a little frustrating at this point, I would say, as a Cougar fan. So I don't even know what to think if I was a player or a parent of any of these players, but we talked about Washington coming out with a mandate that all higher education employees would have to get the vaccine or possibly risk losing their job. Now, obviously this raised eyebrows in, you know, Pullman and the Palouse, because it's well known at this point that Nick Rolovich has opted out of getting the vaccine shot up until this point. He did not attend Pac-12 Media Day because he wasn't vaccinated. And I feel like that was just the beginning of what would be a string of absences due to not being vaccinated. Now that the Washington governor has implemented this mandate, it's unclear still what Nick Rolovich is going to do. It was asked of him after Friday's practice if he would be getting the shot because of the mandate. And his response was simply, I'm going to follow the mandate. Now, in one's mind, that, you know, if an intelligent thinker would probably jump to thinking, well, he's saying he's going to follow the mandate, so he's going to get the shot. Not quite, because when asked specifically if he was going to get the shot, he continued to avoid answering that question and just stuck with, I'm going to follow the mandate. So that could mean one or two things. It means he's going to opt to get the shot and just not talk about it to people because he doesn't want to talk about it. Or it means that he's not going to get the shot and he may forfeit his job as head coach. I am at a, I don't know. I don't have words for this because I don't want to say it's selfish, because I feel like this is a situation of it should be your personal choice. But I do think that when you're in certain careers or you putting yourself in certain positions, that you have the duty to do things that aren't only about you. Brian, what are your thoughts?
I'm with you 100% that while it is a personal choice, you're also having a personal choice to live amongst society. So if you don't want to live amongst society and agree to the social contract, that's fine. Choices always come with accountability, right? They always come with strings that are attached to them, right? And strings is a bad word. They come with results. And I think the biggest issue is that when it comes to college football, there is one voice that rises above all else, and that's Nick Saban. He's the most successful football coach in the modern era. I would argue he's the most successful college football coach in history. I think he is the best. I think we're witnessing something incredibly rare with what he's built at Alabama. All that being said, he came out and said it is a competitive advantage to get everyone vaccinated. When the best in your sport is telling everyone, do this so you can win games and or play games, you should listen. And I get that everybody wants to have their own opinion and their own variances about it. The science is rock solid. Everybody else in the Pac-12 has done it. That's the problem, right? Like, if at this point you're putting your personal beliefs ahead of what really across the board is evidential that in order to get back to the way things were and to have things normalized, this is what needs to be done, then you're being selfish. That's the bottom line. And a football coach should never be selfish when it comes to leading his team. And I think that's caused an immense amount of doubt, both amongst Washington State fans and likely administration, and probably amongst his players as well.
Yeah, at this point, it just kind of seems like he's digging himself in a deeper hole. Even if he ends up getting the shot, right, and coming around, I feel like you said, there's going to be some harsh feelings from players, just because now you're bringing a lot of attention to the program in a negative way that has nothing to do with the actual football part of the program, right? On top of that, this is kind of becoming a bit of a distraction, in my opinion, because like this is all the conversation is coming out of Washington State.
Nationally, especially, right? Like he and Brian Harsh are now becoming the storyline because it's a big deal amongst the national storylines. And I think the problem that is starting to emerge with a lot of these football coaches is that coaches tend to isolate themselves from the outside world, right? They invest themselves entirely in what they're doing. And the outside world is incredibly concerned with what's happening with these numbers and incredibly concerned about possible closures. You're seeing vaccination rates fly up because everybody understands at this point, like, if you still have some doubts, that's okay. But you're probably going to have to take a leap of faith if you really want to get things back to the way they were. And really, the only way to do that without, you know, going through all the politics that have now arisen on something that shouldn't really be political in the first place is, you know, to buckle down and get the vaccine. And, you know, I think this is a hard thing because you talked about it being a personal choice, right? And everybody has concerns and things like that. But, you know, like, it's also a personal choice to get in a car every single day and wear a seatbelt and to not drive drunk and simple things that we really kind of deal with every day on a societal basis. And so it circles back around to where these guys are so insulating themselves from what's going on nationally that they don't realize how massive a distraction they're becoming by trying to put their personal choices above and beyond what's really becoming the expectation across the board. Yeah, but you're seeing it even outside of higher education, right? There are private companies that are starting to require this because there's not going to be a window anymore. And we saw it from the Pac-12 commissioner as well. You don't have enough guys to field a team, you're done. That's it. Forfeit. There's not going to be any leeway for this. And companies are not going to let people go home and sit around for 14 days. Like, if you haven't been vaccinated and all this kind of stuff, that's just where things are going to progress with this. And I want to stick to the football aspect of it. You're bringing national attention to your program in a negative way. And that's never a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want negative publicity. Not good. Not all pub is good pub, period. We don't need it. We don't. Coming up next, we're going to discuss this possible alliance that is supposed to maybe be happening or being considered, one or the other. I don't know. But yeah, it's a lot. it's not necessarily bad. It's not good, but we don't know. We'll talk more about it, though. If you are looking for a good protein bar, Built Bar is the one you should be trying. It's one of Brian's favorites, and that is because it comes in 9 delicious flavors, from coconut to raspberry to peanut butter brownie. There's a little bit of something for everyone. The best part about it is it's tasty and healthy, 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. So a tasty treat and a healthy treat all in one. You cannot get any better than that. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. You will not regret it because, according to Brian, it's one of the best proteins out there. Brian, would you be lying?
No, not never, never. Okay. Lay that on me. I'll take the heat. I'm good with it. I love you, Built Bar.
There we go. So builtbar.com, LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. Go ahead and do that. Also, it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday, Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert, so make sure you use Locked On as the promo code. Now, from what I've been mentioning all episode, we can actually finally talk about, and that is the possible alliance of the Pac-12 with the Big Ten and the ACC. First and foremost, I think that that is wild to even think about. I don't even know what that will look like. It sounds hectic for more than one reason, but initial thoughts upon hearing about a possible alliance. What were yours, Brian?
I think it's a move that has to be made and a discussion that has to be had simply because the SEC is trying to take over college football and they want to eliminate everybody else from contention. As they go to 16 teams, that's enough for them to really have their own super league, so to speak. And really what it boils down to is that the TV providers want to maximize the amount of attention, maximize the value and everything like that. They don't want to have to spread their money further and further to try and have to, appease everyone, right? Like, and this is the other part about too, these kinds of conversations that fans, I think, sometimes struggle to grasp is that it's never about the diehards, right? It's always about that, not as dedicated middle where there's that massive grouping. You know, we hear it all the time in the NBA that you want it to be LA versus New York so that all those people who don't normally watch the NBA tune in. And I think really what these conferences have to do is they have to battle that narrative. And the best way to do it is with some sort of alliance, some sort of, conjoinment. I guess is the word that I'm looking for.
Adjoining.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. Like we're gonna bust open the dictionary, the thesaurus here a little bit today. But I love it. I'm gonna be honest. I love the idea of Utah getting a home and home with Wisconsin. You know, I love the idea of USC and Clemson playing. It maybe at a neutral site game somewhere, right? Like I love the idea of these conferences getting together and mixing things up. And really telling the SEC, like, hey, you all think you're so special and important, and we get that there's a lot of good stuff going on down there, but we can do cool things too, so nah. And, that's where I think this is really smart on the part of the conference commissioners to figure this out, to also give themselves, you know, a package of leverage, because really what this all comes down to is as always, is the TV deals and the TV providers. And if you have some leverage to where maybe ESPN wants to pull the plug on their deal with the ACC and you can go somewhere else, and we're seeing it more and more that streaming providers are getting into this game, you have an asset that you can say to other people and be like, hey, we're going to be way better than anything ESPN has. Come advertise with us. Come get on board with us. You know, come subscribe to this. And so now all of a sudden, the ESPN is caught in a trap, right? Where they thought they were so smart and they could just isolate this one thing and promote it all there and make all this money. And now all of a sudden they're like, darn.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of it is about media rights. And George Kliavkov, every time I say his name, I'm like, I hope I said it right. Pac-12 commissioner talked a little bit about, you know, this possible alliance and what it is. I feel like he's still sticking with the same stance of, you know, I'm happy with the 12 schools we have. I'm not necessarily looking to add any specifically, but I am open to listening to the offers. And that's all for the sake of what is it going to make Pac-12 better or not. And I do truly believe that they're going to make that decision based off of that thought process. He said they've taken the initial meetings with everyone that's expressed interest, and they have a working group who are deciding together on what to recommend as far as, you know, an actual decision. But there's no like hard deadline for them. He's not looking to make it happen tomorrow, you know, or by the end of the season, nothing like that. He's more so looking to kind of quiet the noise in a sense of everything that's happening and like the shift that, you know, Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC is kind of creating in the college football realm. So I think if anything, he's looking to bring that piece back to college football and more so focusing on, you know, the football side of things and not like, well, who's a part of what conference and whatever the case may be. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing if more info comes out about the possible alliance and what that'll look like. As we get more info about it, we'll talk more about it on here. Definitely would like to link with the ACC and Big Ten hosts just to talk about it and their thoughts on all of this happening and if the conferences joining would be beneficial to all three conferences? Or is this something that, you know, some people may just have to go along with because they don't have a choice and it not necessarily be the best option for them? That would be the kind of sucky part, because that means some students will be put in a position that may not benefit them otherwise, you know?
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part about it. And I really love what Commissioner Kulyavkov said in the article about how they wanted to kind of tamper the vibrations that were caused by Oklahoma and Texas. But what you pointed out is it's the athletes that always get overlooked in this.
Always.
And they're never getting a cut of anything, and all these discussions are happening really without their kind of input or anything like that. And I think both of us being former athletes, so we understand how frustrating that is. Number one, because you're the ones that are doing all the work. It's probably like a UPS driver when everybody starts complaining and you're like, man, I'm out here working. Like, I'm dropping these packages as fast as I can. You know, that's where you feel like as an athlete is like, we're doing our best to make these games fun and exciting. And really, like, it's not even that so much as it is these kids are out there working hard and they are burdened with a lot.
I think,
because you're dealing with all the standard expectations of a college student in terms of being well, doing well in classes and trying to get a degree and trying to build your future. And you're dealing with all these massively existential, seriously macro ideas and planning for your future. And that can get heavy at times. And then on top of that, you're trying to beat UCLA.
Right.
You know? Like, that's not an easy task either, because they got good dudes over there. Or, you know, if it's basketball, like, they've got good shooters or whatever the sport is. And so that's the part where we tend to just get this tunnel vision about, okay, it's about the money, it's about the conference. It should be about the players forever and always. And so is there something out there that we can do to make sure that the players get a piece of this along that way? And I think, you know, Commissioner Kulyavkov said that it's important that we take care of our fans and our players and have a really good experience for them as well. You know, so he's got an understanding of why this alliance would benefit them as well. And so I think I've been impressed by him. I'll just put it out there. I was skeptical early, but I've been really impressed. And the more I hear people talk about him, you know, in kind of the underneath conversations, the more I think that the right person is in charge at the right time. And thank goodness, because Uncle Larry would have left us in the ditch with some Pacific seafood and said, see you later.
Oh my God. Brian throws shade all the time when it comes to Larry. So on that note, we are going to wrap it up. Make sure you check out Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. And then as always, follow the Locked On Pac-12 and Locked On Utes podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12_CindyRobinson and @BrownBearSLC. Other than that, make sure you stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.